So we get up to Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. And yesterday we discussed the sugya of Ein Donis Hashevet Ela B'Ayin Aleph. And we didn't finish the sugya, so we'll finish it today and then start the new sugya of Navi Sheker. The Gemara suggested a possibility that if the Shevet was guilty of worshipping Avodah Zarah, then we could judge the Shevet as a Shevet, as an entity, as a community, as a tzibur. And that had two nafkaminas, if you remember. Number one, it, as opposed to an individual where the judgment could take place in front of 23 judges, here we need 71 judges. And secondly, if an individual worships Avodah Zarah, then his misa is a misa skila. But if we're judging him as part of an entity, of a tzibur, like for example in the case of Yerani Dachas, there the judgment, the misa's bezdin, is not skila but rather saif. The Gemara rejects this interpretation about Mishnah because everybody agrees that if you go beyond what's called Rov Shevet, this is even according to Rabbi Yonasan, then it no longer has the status of an entity, of a shevet, of a tzibur. It becomes just an amalgamation of individuals. And therefore, all you would need is 23 judges. So the Gemara substitutes another explanation, and that's here on the top of Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, that the Mishnah is not referring to judging the shevet as a shevet, as a whole, but rather the nasi of the shevet. And this the Gemara bases on Rav Ada Bar Ava. Rav Ada Bar Ava has a drasha, which we're going to analyze a little bit in greater depth today. And the pasuk says in Parshas Yisro, it says, "Kol hadavar gadol yaviu elecha." And instead of reading davar gadol as referring to the substance or the subject, I should say, of the court case, it's referring to an individual. So the word gadol could be a description of a davar, or it could be dvarav shel gadol, means something reflected or relevant to a gadol. And that's what Rav Ada Bar Ava claims, that the pasuk called davar gadol is not referring to the kind of case, its quality and so forth, but rather it's referring to the quality of the person who is now being judged in this case. And he's referring now to someone who has schara, which we discussed yesterday. It means he has some sort of a status. He's a leader of Israel. And in such a case, that's called Dvarv Shel Gadol. He's called a Gadol. And in such a case, the Torah says, Yavino Elecha, we have to bring it to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu has the status of 71 judges of a Sanhedrin HaGadol. So it means that if you're dealing with Dvarav Shel Gadol, something that's relevant to an adjudication or a decision that has to be made about an Adam Gadol, we'll see later on about a Kohen Gadol, and now the Gemara is applying it to a Nasi HaShevet, then it requires a Beis Din HaGadol of 71 judges. So that's going to be the opinion of Rav Masna, and the Gemara seems to be fine with that. The Gemara doesn't reject it. Then Ula offers another explanation, and what it means that the Shevet has to be judged by 71 judges, that's a case of Iske Nachlos. There's some sort of a dispute about the boundaries of the various Shvatim. The one Shevet is accusing the other of having trespassed and expanded into his territory. And the Gemara says that just like in Tchila Shel Eretz Yisrael, meaning at the time that Yoshua divided up the land of Israel, he divided up the territories for the Shvatim through a Bezdin of Ayin Aleph, of 71 elders. So too, if there's some sort of dispute down the line about the territories and which area of land, which tract of land belongs to which Shevet, in such a dispute we have to take it in front of the highest court of Israel. The Gemara doesn't like this. The Gemara rejects Ula. Why? Because if we take Ula's principle, his premise, to its logical conclusion, then there are many other requirements that we should apply to the case of a of a dispute over the territories, the boundaries of a shevet, we should require, for example, Urim v'Tumim. We should require Hagrol of a Kalfi. We should require Mamad Kol Yisrael. All these requirements apply to the original Chalukah when they divide up the land. You know, in that period of time, after the 7 years that Yoshua conquered the land, the second period of time was another 7 years in which they divided up the land. And the requirements and the conditions that had to be met to, in order to achieve this possession of each Shevet respectively in its territory, we required Kalfi. Kalfi means a Hagrola. We needed to, you know, we spoke yesterday a little bit about the two receptacles. In one receptacle they put the names of the Shvatim, and in the other they put the names of the various territories, the provinces of Eretz Yisrael, and they would lift up one with the right hand and one with the left hand and combine them together, like Rolodexes, you know what I mean? And that would determine which Shevet got which section and which province of Eretz Yisrael. But in addition, they needed the Urim v'Tumim, and they needed what's called the Maimad Kol Yisrael. So there are a whole bunch of requirements that are conditional in terms of dividing up the land at the time that Yeshua entered the land and divide up the land. All those conditions should now apply, based on Ula's logic, to a dispute between two Shvatim over the extent of the territory. You know, there's going to be a fight between Zvulun and Yisachar about a certain tract of land. Well, if it's Ketchilasa, if you're going back to the way the halachic requirements that apply to the original Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, then it's not sufficient that you adjudicate this in front of the highest court of Israel. In addition, you need all the other requirements of Urim v'Tumim, Maimon Kol Yisrael, and Hagrola B'Kalfi. And yesterday we mentioned that the commentaries here are a little bit upset about this. You know, it doesn't mean that our Mishnah has to give you a long list of all the requirements. Our Mishnah is only dealing with the issue of Sanhedrin. And the Mishnah is telling you which Bezdin. Is it a Bezdin of 3, a Bezdin of 23, a Bezdin of 71? Which Bezdin is necessary to qualify to adjudicate in a certain case? So with regard to a dispute between two of the Shiftei Ka, with regard to a tract of land, the Mishnah is only telling you that you need Sanhedrin, which means you need 71 judges. That doesn't mean that you don't have other requirements. The Mishnah doesn't have to mention all the other requirements. For example, our Mishnah is going to tell you that if you want to expand Yerushalayim, the boundaries of Yerushalayim, so you need a Bezdin of Shivim V'Echad, the approval of the highest court of 71 judges. The Gemara is going to tell us you need other requirements as well. You need the Melech, you need the Kohen Gadol, but our Mishnah is only interested in Sanhedrin, and to tell us how many judges have to sit on the case. And therefore we tell us in our Mishnah that if you want to add and expand to the city, then you need a judgment of 71 judges. But that doesn't mean to exhaust all the conditions. There may be a whole list of conditions that have to be met. So Tosis answers in Masechta Shavuos that our Mishnah in one breath combines Shevet with Navi Sheker. In the case of Navi Sheker, we need 71 judges to decide that this Navi is a Navi Sheker. But we don't have any other requirements. We don't require Melech. We don't require Maimad Kol Yisrael. We don't require Urim V'Tumim. We don't require a Kohen Gadol. None of the other requirements apply. So by the very fact that Rav Yehuda Hanasi chose to present the Shevet together with Navi Sheker in one breath, he was trying to indicate that that they're equal. There's an analogy. And just like in Navi Sheker, all you need is 71 judges, there are no other conditions, so too in the case of Shevet, all you need is one condition. And if Ula is telling us that Shevet means they're fighting, they're battling over a tract of land, then we should go back to the requirements of the original Chalukah, the original division of land, which took place at the time of Yoshua, and there are many, many other requirements. And yet the Mishnah only requires 71 judges. So what we're up to today, Rabosai, is Ravina. So let's see if we all have the place. Because Ravina is going to take us back to the original position of the Gemara that we're talking about, a Shevet that was enticed to worship Avodah Zarah, and that we're going to judge the Shevet as an entity, as a community, as a tzibur. So let's count down from the top of the page. I think it's 10 lines down. I'll double check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines down. Ravina Amar Li'olam. Now, whenever you see the word Li'olam, it means we're going back to an original position that was rejected, and we're going to try to patch up the hole and protect that original position. Li'olam B'Shevet Shehudach. Hudach means that they were lured or enticed to worship an idol. And I always point out to you, and I've said it, you've heard it from me dozens of times, that Avodah Zarah doesn't speak much to us today, but back in the day before the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah got involved, it was murder. I mean, the Gemara says that the temptation and the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah was just impossible. So again, when we look into Jewish history, we read the Tanakh and we hear about the Jewish people worshiping idols, and we laugh at that. Like, who would worship an idol? Einayim lehem v'lo yiru, right? But the answer is that it's a whole different entity. The world as we see it today, after the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, is not the same world as the world before Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. In any event, there's such a situation where an entire Shevet, it's mind-boggling, right? An entire Shevet was enticed to worship Avodah Zarah. And that's going to require a judgment of 71 judges. Udika Kashale, but you asked me the following objection. This was the Gemara Daf Tesva, Bedina de Rabim Daininan Le. How could we possibly judge the Shevet under the law of Dina de Rabim? Remember, we had two categories. We had Dina de Rabim and Dina de Yochid. In Dina de Yochid, we need 23 judges, and the violator of Avodah Zarah, the idol worship, is put to death with skila. In Dina de Rabim, when we judge the entire entity, whether it's a city or in this case a shevet, then we require 71 judges, and the misa is saif, not skila. So the Gemara asks, and now I have to address your question, Ravina says, the kokashilof, you objected, bedina de rabim dainina le. How could we judge an entire shevet under the law of dina de rabim? That's impossible, because Rav Oshia says the maximum for a dina de rabim is 100. And Rav Yonason says the maximum for a dina de rabim is up to rov shevet. But certainly if the entire shevet worshipped Avodah Zarah, then we judge them as an amalgamation of individuals and not as an entity. So the answer is in. Afagav de katlinan biyachid be dina de rabim dainina le. Let me try to explain. What the Gemara is doing is, Ravina is accomplishing the following goal. He's splitting the halacha of Dina de Rabim as opposed to Dina de Yochid into two. We've been packaging together two elements as if they were one. The question of how many judges you need, and the question of which Misa should be applied to those who are condemned to death. Says Ravina, no, you're confusing the issue here. Don't combine these two. You can have a Dina de Rabim as far as the number of judges that you require, but at the same time, as far as the Misa, the nature of the punishment is concerned, how do we put him to death? It's going to be classified as a Dina de Yochid. How so? We have a case where the entire Shevet was guilty of Avodah Zarah. On the one hand, that entity called the Shevet is Dina de Rabim. What does that mean? We're going to require a judgment of 71 elders of the highest court in Israel. But at the same time, since you've exceeded beyond the number of Rav Oshia, which is 100, of Rav Yonason, which is Rov HaShevet, and therefore you generate Allah of Katlina of Yachid, of Dina de Yachid, the Dina de Yachid here is going to be with regard to which Misa they get. Which punishment they get. The Katlina, we put him to death be Yachid, as if he were Yachid. So again, we're going to need 71 judges to adjudicate over the entire Shevet that worshipped Avodah Zarah. And in that context, or in relevant to that din of what kind of bezdin you need for the Shevet, the answer is that a Shevet that worshipped Avodah Zarah, every last member of the Shevet, we need Bezna Gadol, 71 judges, but yet when it filters down to each individual and how that individual is going to be put to death, then we apply the principle of katlinan biyachid. Katlinan biyachid means which misa are we going to give him as a yachid? Skila, not sayif.
So there's just one court case.
Right, there's one court case, but as far as the misa is concerned, we're going to treat them as individuals. Let's see the Gemara inside. Beidina derabim dainina le. What that means is that we need a bezdin of shivim v'echad. So the Gemara now asks the following question. Milo Omar Rav Chama. I'm sorry, this is not a question. This is a support text to Ravina. And he's asking a rhetorical question. Do you not know about a statement of Rabbi Chama, of Rabbi Yossi, in the name of Rav Oshia? Now, what we're looking at is the parasha of Avodah Zorah. The parasha of Avodah Zorah we read just about 2 weeks ago in Parashas Shoftim, and there it says, with regard to those who worship idols, Votseisa es ha'ishahu, o es ha'ishahi, and the end of the pasuk says, Uskaltam bavanim vamesu. And it says the following, that if we're dealing with Dina de Yachid, right, a whole bunch of individuals, or one individual, then the punishment is going to be Skila. It says in the pasuk, Uskaltam bavanim vamesu. Now the Torah went out of its way to point out here that we're dealing with an ish or isha, meaning we're dealing with an individual, one man or one woman. And it's telling you the following. Now, again, we have to add one little piece of information as background information. I'll ask it as a question and see if I can evoke an answer. We have a requirement of a judgment, a bezdin of three. But we said, and then we have the highest court of Israel, that's a bezdin of 71. Where do you find a bezdin of three? Anywhere, everywhere. Where do you find a bezdin of 71? Only in the Beis HaMikdash. For Kamtov Alis Alamokam, only in the Lishka Sagos. Now, in between the two, what do we have? A bezdin of 23. Where is the bezdin of 23?
Every city has one.
Excellent. And every city is called Shar Ha'ir. For example, if you take a look in Sefer Rus, which we read on Shavuos, you'll see that they, you know, the whole judgment as to whether Boaz could marry Rus took place with Shar Ha'ir. Shar Ha'ir, which means the entrance into the city, the gates of the city. That was the location where Bezdin would sit. Not a Bezdin of three, but a higher court. Now, a higher court can't mean the highest court of Israel, because that's in the Beis HaMikdash. So what does it mean the gates of each city is equipped, or each one is equipped with a Bezdin? Again, a Bezdin of Shlosha is all over the place, anywhere. You know, you walk down the street, knock on the door, you know, there's the Bezdin. But when we talk about a special bezdin at the Shar Ha'ir, that's a reference to a bezdin of what? 23 judges. Oh. So the pasuk says, "Votseisos ha'ishahu os ha'ishahi," and it says in the pasuk that we take them out to the Shar Ha'ir. Why we take them out to the Shar Ha'ir? Because they're suspect of what? Of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is a capital crime. And to adjudicate on a capital crime, a rule that a person is condemned to death, you need a what? A bezdin of 23 judges. So we're going to take them out to the Shar Ha'ir. Now, what would be if we had a city, not an individual, but a city that's called Dina Derabim, that worshipped Avodah Zarah? That's going to be adjudicated where? Not in the Shar Ha'ir, but in the Lishkas HaGodes outside the Beis HaMikdash, because we need a Sanhedrin HaGedol. Why did the Torah go out of its way to emphasize when it came to the requirement of She'arecha, which means a Beis Din of 23, why did the Torah go out of its way to emphasize the individuals? Ish o Isha. And this is what's called a miut. Miut means an exclusion, right? So we're going to say the following. Ish ve'isha tamotzi l'sharecha. If there are individuals, which is called dina diyachid, then we take the accused to the shara'ir and we judge them in a court of 23 judges that sit in the shire of every single city of Israel. But that's only because we're dealing with dina diyachidim, individuals, an ish or an isha. V'i'atamotzi kol ha'ir kulo l'sharecha. But if we're dealing with the entire city, then we need a judgment of the Beis Din of Shiva V'yechad in the Lishkas HaGazis. It's not in the Shar HaIr. Hachinami, now let's apply this to Shevet. Until now we've been talking about an ear. Is Hachinami here too in the case of a Shevet, where the Shevet was allured to worship an idol? The Torah goes out of its way to tell us that you don't take the Shevet and judge it at the Shar HaIr, meaning with the Beis Din of 23, but rather you take them all the way up to Yerushalayim, to the Lishkas HaGazis, and there you have a Beis Din HaGadol of 71 judges. Ish ve'isha tamotzi lisha arecha, v'yatamotzi kol ha'shevet kul lisha arecha. Now the subject of this pasuk, which is telling you that in the case of Dina Diyachid of individuals, we're going to judge them in 23 judges at the Shara'ir, as opposed to a larger entity, which means the ear or the Shevet, there the judgment is going to be in the Lishkas HaGazis, in the Beis Din HaGadol of Yerushalayim. But notice that the Pasuk does not go out of its way to change, or the Drasha doesn't go out of its way to change the Din of uskaltem vavanim vamesim. Why? Because that misa of skila will apply even in a case where the judgment was handed down in the Lishkas HaGazis by the Sanhedrin of 71, in a case where it was kol ha'ir or kol ha'shevet. Because again, if it's kol ha'ir or kol ha'shevet, what kind of din do we apply? Is it dina d'rabba, dina d'yachid? I mean, you have a 50-50 chance of getting the right answer, but I'm hoping that you know the right answer. Again, I'm talking about a case of kol ha'shevet. If it's kol ha'shevet, what kind of dina is it? Dina diyachid. Correct? It's a dina diyachid. Because again, the maximum ceiling, the cap, for a dina d'rabim, according to Rav Yoshia, was 100. According to Rav Yonasan, was rov ha'shevet. Now we're talking about a case of kol ha'ir or kol ha'shevet. In such a case, it's dina diyachid. What is dina diyachid? It says, "Otzeisas ha'isha hu ha'isha hu skaltem ba'avonim ha'mesu." Dina diyachid is skila. That's going to remain even in the case of Lishkas HaGazis, namely kol ha'ir, kol ha'shevet, because it's a dina diyachid. That's katlina lei biyachid. And the misa is going to be misas skila uskaltim ba'avonim ha'mesu. However, as far as the judgment is concerned, here the Torah went out of its way to say that Iatamotzi kola ir kula lisharecha, Iatamotzi kola shevet kula lisharecha, but rather we need the Beis Din HaGadol Lishkas HaGazis made up of 71 judges. So basically, Ravina is pulling what I call a brisker chiddush over here. Why do I call it a brisker chiddush? Ravina was, after all, before brisk. He was actually living in Iraq, so he was a Sfaradi, so he wasn't a Litvak, you know, living in the Ashkenazic world of Lithuania in Brisk, but he was a Brisker. I can tell you he's a Brisker. He must have learned by Reb Chaim Brisker. How do I know this? Because he's saying Tzvei Dinim. You know, Reb Chaim was always famous for two aspects, two dimensions. I call it the Einsteinian theory of relativity. So Ravina is saying that how do you define Kol HaShevet? How do you classify it? And the answer is Tzvei Dinim. As far as the Yachid and the Misa that we're going to meet out to the Yachid, then once you've exceeded beyond Rov and you have Kol HaIr or Kol HaShevet, then it's Dina DiYachid, and that means that the Misa will be Skila. As far as the Beis Din is concerned, and which Beis Din is authorized to make a decision on the part of the entire Shevet, the entire city, that's a Dina de Rabin, and we require 71 judges in the highest court of Israel.
So he doesn't have anything to deal with Saif then, at all, in any of the cases?
Well, no, a Saif would only be with an individual. Let's say you have a gigantic metropolis, but only X number of people worship the Avodah Zarah. Or let's say you have a very small city, and one person in that city worships the Avodah Zarah. That's going to be... that'll be skewer. Oh, so you're talking about Saif. Just one second. Let's get this straight. Again, if it was Rov Ha'ir, or Rov HaShevet, That would be called Dina de Rabin straight across the board. Meaning the Misa would be Saif and the Beis Din would be Beis Din 71. As soon as we exceed the Rov and we get to Kol HaShevet, then to some extent we drop the ball on Dina de Rabin and we impose Dina de Yochid, meaning that the Misa is now going to be a Misa of Skila. As far as the quality of the Beis Din and the authority of Beis Din is concerned, it's considered a Dina de Rabin, and therefore we require Ayin Aleph. Right, but please don't misunderstand me. We're not saying that in the case of Rov Ha'ir or Rov or Rov HaShevet that we're going to give each individual Skila. No, that's a pure 100%. Undiluted case of Dina de Rabin, and therefore the Misa will be signed.
Rabbi, yeah. What do you mean it exceeds Rav? What does that mean?
Right, let's say the Shevet is made up of 50,000 members.
Okay.
Once you get 25,000.1,
right,
then at that point, it's no longer Rav. It's beyond Rav. I'm sorry. Just one second.
That's Rav.
Yeah, that's Rav. Okay. But what was your question again, Don?
What's beyond Rove?
Oh, beyond Rove would be if every last member is...
It has to be 100%.
Right, 100%.
So if it was 27,000, that's still within the Rove category. It has to be the entire 50,000.
No. One second. I think I jumped the gun here. Wait a second. You got me confused, which is good.
Sorry.
No, that's good. No. If you got me confused, that's good. That means that I...
You're using a term I don't understand.
No. Just give me a second. I just want to make sure that I get this right, because I think what I just told you is wrong. What we're saying is the following. There's a minimum and a maximum.
Mm-hmm.
So the minimum is 100. So let's say you have a city made up of 100 people. So that's called an ear. Okay, now once the rove of that ear, which would be, let's say, 51 out of 100 people in that city, worshipped Avodah Zarah, at that point the city, which is made up of 100, I'm going now according to Rabbi Yonasan, that city is classified as an ear anidachas. Okay, now wait a second. Then Rabbi Yonasan says the maximum is going to be up until Rove Shevet. You know what? Let's leave out Ir Anidachas for a moment.
Okay.
We'll try to address Ir Anidachas in a minute. Let's talk about Shevet. Oh, so now, Rav Yonasan is going to say the following. You've got a Shevet, and it's made up of, let's say, 100 people. Of that 100 people in that Shevet, 51 worshipped Avodah Zarah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's going to be a judgment on the Shevet as a Rabin, as a Tzibur. With two Nafkaminas, we need 71 judges, and the Misa will be Saif instead of Skew. Oh, now, what's the maximum? In other words, to what extent do we have this umbrella called a Shevet? Up until Rove Shevet. So that means that if you go from 100 people who worship the Avodah Zarah, or for example, actually, let me be even more meticulous. If you go from 51 people all the way up to 25,000 people, that's going to be Dina de Rabin. Dina de Rabin. However, if now... Yeah, just one second. Now... Oh, excellent. Now you have 25.1. At that point, it's no longer Dina de Rabin. At that point, it's kol ha-shevet. Why? Because rubo kakulo. Most of the shevet is like all the shevet. Now, if all, now here's the, this is what I called yesterday the paradox. It's counterintuitive. If you have the entire shevet, that becomes dina d'yochid. Right? You and I would think that the larger the metropolis, the larger the ear, and the larger the community, and the entity of its tzibur. It goes in the opposite way. There's a limit, because at one point it becomes kol ha-shevet. Kol ha-shevet no longer fits into the dina d'rav. And at that point becomes an amalgamation of yechid. That's what we discussed at great length yesterday, Noah.
Okay.
Alright, let's start the new sugya now with your rishus. Lo es nevi'a sheker. So you have a Navi, and he comes to prophesy, but he never actually received that prophecy. The whole thing was a fabrication, and he's put to death. And in the 11th chapter of Sanhedrin, we're going to learn that he's put to death with Misas Chenek. Minani Mili, but in order to put a Navi Sheker and judge him, for condemn him to death, you need the highest court of Israel. How do we know such a thing? Om Rav Yossi, Rav Kanina, Asya Hazoda Hazoda Mizokein Mamre. Now this language, you should get familiar with the language, the style, and the formulation of Shas. The language of Asya, which follows with two words that are identical, is called a Gzereshava. Gzereshava means when you see the word repeated in two different contexts, then we have a Gzeres Shav. Now, in a minute, I'm going to ask you the question I don't want to ask you now. Can anybody come along and say, well, you know, I did a word search, I found the same word in two contexts, I'm going to make a Gzeres Shav out of it. Okay? Or do you have to have a Kabbalah, some sort of unbroken tradition? So I'll get back to that in just a minute. Now, where does the word Hazadah appear? So it appears once in the parasha of Navi Sheker, and it appears another time in the parasha of Zokein Mamre. Now let's go over the basics here. Zokein Mamre is a person who is cholek on what? On whom?
Sanhedrin.
On the Sanhedrin Agdola. Sanhedrin Agdola that sat in the Lishkas HaGozes and comprised of 71 judges. They told him, he was a dissenter, that this is the final verdict. We took a vote and majority rules. He went back to his city and ruled against the Sanhedrin. He's a rebellious Zaken and will be put to death. Also put to death by Chenek. In that parsha, I'm going to read to you the pasuk. The pasuk says, Va'ish asher yasev bizadon. So he acts deliberately because they warned him. You know, drop your opinion. The bilti Shmuel HaKohen, he doesn't listen to the Bezdin. And the Torah says, "Umeisa ishahu," he will be put to death. And the pasuk says, "Ha'ish asher yaseh bizadon." The word zadon. Now, we're going to fast forward from Perek Yud Zayin in Sefer Dvarim to Perek Yud Ches in Sefer Dvarim. Here, the Torah presents the case of a Navi Sheker. And the pasuk says the following: Ach hanavi asher yazid. Yazid is the word mezid in an active conjugated as an active verb. So again, mezid means we describe his action. The action itself is described as yazid miloshen mezid l'daber davar, and he transmits a message bishmi in my name, says God. Es asher lo tzivisi, and I never gave him that command. And he has to be put to death. So the verse says, Mala halon, just like in the case of Zokein Mamre, is the Torah says he's not going to be put to death unless he rebelled against a Bezdin of Shivim V'Yechad of 71, and that's derived from the pasuk V'kam to V'Lisa L'Mokom Asher Yivchar Hashem. Is Afkan here too? In the case of Navi Sheker, where also the Torah says Asher Yazid Miloshin Hazada, is when it says Umeis Ha'ish Ahu, it means Bebezdin Shal Shivim V'Yechad. it seems that this Gzeirah Shava is what I call a generic Gzeirah Shava. What do I mean by a generic? What we're looking at is the parsha of Zaken Mamre, and we find a certain word in that parsha. Once we find that word, and we're going to find it again in the parsha of Navi Sheker, then it gives us a general kind of comparison. What I mean to say is, we're not focused on the word itself. Because if we were focused on the word itself, the subject of the word Zadon in the case of Zaken Mamre is the Avera for which he's guilty. It's not the nature of the Bezdin that's required in order to condemn him to death. That's not what the Torah is describing here. The Torah is saying that what is this rebellious Zaken guilty of? Asher Yaseh b'Zadon l'bilti Shmo l'Kohen. He deliberately rebels against the decision of the Bezdin. What is his Misa? Okay, fine. His Misa is going to be condemned in a court of 71 judges. That's okay, but that's not the subject of the Pasuk. The subject of the Pasuk is to describe what he's guilty of. Why are we putting him to death? The Torah says we're putting him to death because he rebelled against what Bezdin? 71 judges, the Bezdin HaGadol. But the pasuk itself, Asher Hazit Yaseh Zadon, that's not talking. That pasuk is not addressing what kind of Bezdin and how many judges we need on the court in order to condemn him to death, but rather it's talking about his mazon. What did he do? And what he did was he fought against and he rebelled against the Bezdin of 71, the High Court of Israel. But what I'm suggesting is that this concept of Gzeirah Shava is like a general concept. It basically tells you that if a word appears in one parsha and in another parsha, equate the dinim between those two parshios. And since the word Zadon appears both in Zaken Mamre and in Navi Sheker, therefore we're going to equate the dinim, and one of the dinim that applies to a Zaken Mamre is that he has to be judged by a court of 71. So too, if you want to judge a Navi Sheker condemned to death, you need a court of 71. The Gemara is not happy with that. The Gemara thinks that there's no such thing as a generic Gzeirah Shava. Gzeirah Shava has to be pinpointed. You've got to take that word in its context, and then you can apply it elsewhere where the word appears in the same context. But you don't have a right to sort of say, well, I'm going to make a general equation between the two. You give me all the list of all the dinim that apply to case A, and now I'm going to apply those dinim to case B. No. Says the Gemara, Vaha Zoda. When it says Yaseh b'Zadon, Ki Ksiva, where is it written? Biktala, who de Ksiva? What we're talking about now is not the question of how many judges do we need to put the Zaken Mamre to death. That's not what the Torah is referring to. That's not what the Pasuk Zadon is describing. The Torah is describing the nature of his rebellion. His rebellion was against the Bezdin of 71. Uktala b'esum utlosahu. How do you know that in order to put the Zaken Mamre to death, you've got to have a judgment of 71 elders? That might be right. Rashi says that it's not right. Interesting. Rashi says that if you take a look in the Mishnah, nowhere does the Mishnah indicate that in order to condemn a Zaken Mamre to death, we need a Bezdin HaGadol. Again, there is a requirement of Bezdin HaGadol in the parsha of Zaken Mamre, but only as far as what?
Finding him guilty.
His rebellion. You hear this? Hamra. Hamra is called the rebellion. You want to write this down, Don? Hamra'ah. Hey Mem Reish Aleph Hey. Right? Hamra'ah means his rebellion. Hey Mem Reish Aleph Hey. His Hamra'ah was against the Bezdin HaGadol of 71 judges. But his Misa, when we put him to death, we can put him to death in front of a classic capital crime Bezdin, that's 23 judges. You take a look at Rashi Dibra Maskel Ki. Where is the Rashi Dibra Maskel Ki? It's about 15 lines down from the top. Ki ksiva b'ktola ksiva. And Rashi says, uktola di de b'esru shlosha. This is a chiddush, that even though his dissension and his rebellion was against the Bez Nagadol, we don't need the Bez Nagadol to condemn him to death. We can condemn him to death in the case of rebellious Zaken, in a small law court of 23 judges. Why? The Chik Siv, when the Torah says Vakamto Valisa, and the Torah says that he, you know, we're talking about Alisa means up to the Lishka Sagoz outside the Beis HaMikdash where the 71 judges said. Baharak Siva, in the case of his verdict, of his ruling, and he ruled against the Hora of the Bez Nagadol, Shebaim l'sho'alo mayoru. Okay, this we mentioned this in the past when we discussed Zaken Mamre. The Zaken came up to the Bez Nagadol to ask a question, a very severe question, very serious question. So he didn't have he had his opinion, but he wanted to get the support and the agreement of the Bez Nagadol. So he went up all the way to Yerushalayim. But to his chagrin, the Beis Din told him the exact opposite of what he wanted to say. V'imhora lasos kibitchila, but instead he went ahead and he issued a ruling exactly as he thought originally, before he got the decision of Beis Din, which was the exact opposite. Is nidon kishar hamumasim, he's chayav misa like anyone who's chayav misa, and that requires a Beis Din of 23 judges. You won't find anywhere in that Mishnah that ain't done in this Hazokim Mamre, El Bez Nagadol of 71. So it's very interesting. You want to derive a requirement in Navi Sheker of a Bez Din of 71 from Zaken Mamre. Well, I got news for you. Zaken Mamre doesn't require a Bez Din of 71 to condemn him to death. Again, when the Torah says, Ha'isha Shayasa Bizadon, meaning that his hora, when he went back to his city, is the reason why he's chayiv, and it says bizadon, that word zadon, does not indicate in any way or shape that he has to be judged and condemned in a Beis Din of 71. In fact, he'll be judged in a Beis Din like any other mumasim, any of the ones who are chayiv misa, a Beis Din of 23 judges.
But Rabbi, we talked about the fact that maybe he came to his conclusion when all 71 weren't there, and therefore he could be in the right, you know, we discuss it, he could be in the right based off of other opinions of people, of judges that were not there to begin with. So it could be swayed, he technically could be right. So why wouldn't he be given the benefit of the doubt of having 71? Then it could be that he is right, technically.
I think, Chanuch, well, you know, you're forcing me to go back to that whole sugya, which if you remember, nice. I had like three days, those were like the worst 3 days of my life. You know, after 3 days, I was walking around with that sugya trying to figure it out. I'm not sure if I ever figured it out. But in any event, no, what we said is the following, that there was a havamin in the Gemara. You remember that the Bez Nagadol was on vacation,
right,
so to speak, right? They were based Pagi, they weren't in the Lishkas HaGozes.
Right.
So the Gemara had a Havamina that maybe if the minority, let's say, there were a couple of different scenarios, but let's say if the majority of the Beis Din left the chambers of the Lishkas HaGozes, so they went to Beis Pagi, and he argued against them. It could be that had those majority of the Beis Din, let's say, had the 30, let's say 36, had they been there in Beis Pagi, maybe they would have agreed with him, so we can't put him to death. Then we had a whole long discussion of the Yad Ramah, but what happens in a case where the majority of the Beis Din is located in the Lishkas HaGozes, only the minority of the Beis Din was in the Beis Pagi, and he asked a question, he got an answer, and he went back to his hometown to rebel and pass his verdict. So the Yad Ramah says that you could ask the following question: well, maybe in that case, that most of the why is he chayav misa? That was the Yad Ramah's Hava Mina, he would be Chayav Misa because there were enough people in Beis Pagi to issue a decision such that even if the people who were in the Lishkas Hagos would join them and dissent against them, they would still be outnumbered by the majority. I think the final maskana there was that the entire Beis Din packed out of the Lishkas Hagoses and found themselves in the Beis Pagi. But nevertheless, even though you would say he's chayav for that because now he's rebelling against the entire Beis Din, but nevertheless, they weren't located in the Lishkas Hagoz. So it's not v'kamta v'olisa l'amokom ashayivcha Hashem amokom gorim. So Rabosai, at this particular point in the sugya, Amar Rav Yossi is completely rejected. Why? Because even if I would grant you this Gzeira Shava between Zakei Mamre and Navi Sheker, I would still not draw the conclusion, therefore, that Navi Sheker requires the Bezdin of Shivim V'Echad. So when we ask Manoni Mili, what's the source in the Torah that a Navi Sheker has to be condemned by a Bezdin of Ayin Aleph, you cannot answer that you derive it from Zakei Mamre, because in truth, the Zakei Mamre be condemned by a Bezdin of 23 judges. You don't even require 71 judges. Ela Omer Eish Lakish Gomar Dovar Dovar Mihamra Oso. Now we have a different Gzeirah Shavah. Not Gzeirah Shavah of Azoda Azoda, but Gzeirah Shavah of Dovar Dovar. What is this Gzeirah Shavah? In Zaki Mamre it says Vasisal Pia Dovar Asher Yagidu Lecha. That's the introduction to the parasha of Zakei Mamre, that we must comply with the davar, which means the decision, the ruling, asher yagidu lcha, that Beis Din hands down. So the word davar appears. Now, in Navi Sheker, it says, acha navi asher yazid lidaber davar bishmi. Again, the word davar. Now, since the word Dover appears in both places, then what we have a right to do now is to say that the Misa of the Navi Sheker, meaning the verdict that Navi Sheker is condemned to death, is to be derived or equated to the Hamra of the Zakei Mamre. The Hamra of the Zakei Mamre is against the Beis Din of Shivim V'Echad. Fellas, just tidy up your ties, because okay, so that's the Dover Dover Mehamra Oso. Okay, yeah, I didn't bring a comb. And so, all right, this was not pre-staged. So what is this Dover Dover Mehamra Oso? Now this is really interesting. The Machayev of Zakei Mamre is because he rebelled against how many judges? 71. The actual Misa is going to be meted out by a court of 23. But this Dover Dover is going to plug in to Navi Sheker to teach me how many judges we need to condemn the Navi Sheker to death. And we're going to need the same amount of judges that we need for the Zakei Mamre's Hamra to be Mechayev him Misa. And the Zakei Mamre's Hamra, when he rebels, is only against the Beis Din of 71 judges. And now when we want to put the Navi Sheker to death, by virtue of this Gzeirah Shavah Dover Dover, we're going to derive the conclusion that we cannot condemn the Navi Sheker to death in a Beis Din less than 71 judges.
Even though the other one was 23.
Correct. So the paradox here of Reish Lakish is that he's willing to take the word Dover, and since it says Dover in two different parashios, we're going to derive a certain number of judges by asking, well, in what context does the word Dover appear here, and what context appear here? The word Dover in the context of Zakei Mamre appears with regard to the Hamra Mechayevus, that the Hamra Mechayevus has to be against the Beis Din of 71, so we get the number 71. The Dover in Navi Sheker is going to tell me how many judges we need to put the Navi Sheker to death. And that's going to be the same number as the judges against which the Zakei Mamre rebelled, namely the 71 judges. That's Reish Lakish. So now the Gemara says the following. Okay, now you have Dover Dover, but what are you going to do with Hazada Vazada? Remember we had another Gzera Shavu called Hazada Hazada. So the Gemara asks, V'leheder Zakimami V'ligmar Hazada Hazada Minovi Sheker. Now that we have this equation, we should add another equation another variable into the equation, and that is Hazada Zada Minovi Sheker. In other words, now that we clarified that a Novi Sheker is put to death by a Beis Din of 71, and that we're going to derive from the Hamra of Zaki Mamre, which is against the Beis Din of 71, which is called Dover Dover. Now, why does the Zaki Mamre get killed in a Beis Din? He's put to death in a Beis Din of 23. Why not learn from Novi Sheker that just like Novi Sheker requires 71 judges to condemn him to death, so too Zaki Mamre can only be condemned to death by a judgment of 71 elders. And the Gemara answers, Dover Dover Gamir, Hazada Hazada Lo Gamir. The word Gamir means an unbroken transmission that dates back Ish Mipi Ish all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning, we have Gamir. Gamir means a tradition. That's called a Mesorah. Now, in general, we need a Mesorah for Torah, but in the case of Gzeiras Shavuot, there's a specific, very heavy requirement of a Mesira, of a Mesores HaTorah. And we need a Mesores on the Gzeiras Shavuot. Without a Mesores on the Gzeiras Shavuot, you cannot just do a word search and come up with your own Gzeiras Shavuot. Therefore, the Gzeiras Shavuot that we have is only Dover Dover, which teaches me that just like the Hamra has to be against 71 judges in the case of Zaki Mamre, so too the Misa of a Novi Sheker has to be done by a Beis Din of 71 judges. However, to take it now the other way around and say Azada Azada, and now define the requirement of a Beis Din to put a Zaki Mamre to death as it's defined in Novi Sheker, 71 judges, that Gzeira Shavuot we don't have. We simply never received the Gzeira Shavuot of Hazada Hazada.
The question is this the Maskana of Reish Lakish, or is this the Maskana of Gomorrah? This last one.
I can't tell you for sure, but I would promise you that this is what Reish Lakish would have said had he been alive at the time of the question. Meaning, it could be that the Gemara is recording a question that was asked way after Reish Lakish died. But I'm sure that the answer here is the Gemara's clarification of Reish Lakish himself. Is this mine? I may have forgotten to put this off.
I think it may be mine. I don't know how to turn off the notification.
Oh. You can't just turn off this app? That's what I can do on my phone.
I thought I had it off.
You got to get a phone as sophisticated as mine.
Sorry.
No, I'm just joking. I'm saying, Don, you know,
my salary's not big enough.
Yeah, that's right. You have to work for the ELC, right? Very good. Very good. Yeah.
I've been here long enough to know.
I was always wondering if you're employed at the ELC, if you can collect bituach lumi because you're below. It's a borderline. Anyway, so now we have the following. First of all, Rashi makes a distinction here between Kal Vachomer and Gzeiras Shavuot. Rashi says that a Kal Vachomer, you don't have to have a Mesorah, you don't have to have a Kabbalah, you can come up with your own Kal Vachomer. Again, Kal Vachomer has to fulfill various rules and regulations. It's not just the Hefker, it's not just the anarchy. But you can logically come up with your own Kal Vachomer. Actually, there's an author who lived not long ago, Rav Zevin. He actually goes through a lot of the Achronim, and he shows you that some of the giants over the generations actually came up with their own Kal Vachomer. But in Gzeiras Shavuot, you have to have a Kabbalah.
Rav Zemel from
Zevin.
Oh, Zevin.
Zevin. Z-E-V-I-N. He was a genius, amazing genius, and a great person. A person as well. I have a picture of my father with Rav Zemel that we always hang up in our sukkah. He was the creator and the editor of the Encyclopedia Talmudit, which is easily the greatest contribution of the 20th century to halachic literature. It's an amazing, amazing piece. They haven't finished it yet. But it all comes under the hashra'a, you know, the influence of Rav Zevin. But I mean, he was an unbelievable bucky. So he has a whole essay in which he shows you how many different gedolim over the course of centuries came up with their own kal vachomer. But never, and it's not even valid to come up with your own gzeira shav. You know, it's very tempting to do so because we have such great access to, you know, through word search, to shas. You know, it'd be a lot of fun. You could spend your whole life punching words in and come up with, every 5 seconds, come up with a new gzeira shav. Well, with regard to gzeira shav, we need a Kabbalah, ish mi pi ish mi rabo, all the way back to Moshe and Har Sinai. Now we get to the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says not only does a Navi Sheker need to be condemned by a Beis Din of 71, but even a Kohen Gadol has to be condemned by a Beis Din of 71. Minani Mili, Omar of Ado Bar Ava, Di Omar. You know what? This is actually very complicated. I just look at my watch. So let me just add one last tag on, you know, to the sugya of Gzeira Shava. And B'li Neder, tomorrow we'll start the sugya of Kohen Gadol, because I realize now I'm going to do a botched job if I'm pressured. Kohen Gadol is a sensitive drasha back and forth, Dovra Kosha, Dovra Gadol. So let me just add the Yad Ramah for about 2 minutes, and then we'll end the shiur for today. He says the following. When the Gemara says Dover Dover Gomir, Hazada Hazada Lo Gomir, what it means is the following. The Tana is of the opinion that we can only learn the Gzer Shav of Dover Dover and not Hazada Hazada. Why? What makes the Gzer Shav of Dover Dover a superior one to Hazada Hazada? And he says the following. That Dover Dover means those are the exact two words that appear in both parshios. Let's go over it one more time. It says in Pesachim Amri Vasisa Al Pi Dover, and in the case of Novi Sheker, it says Ledaber Dover. Asher Yozid Ledaber Dover. So the word is exactly that. That's a healthy Gzeira Shava that's got no glitches. However, the Gzeira Shava of Hazada Hazada, the Gemara thinks we're not going to learn it. Why? Because it's not the same word. Okay, once again, let's go back to Zokin Mamre. And Zokin Mamre says, Asher, just 1 second, it says, Asher Yaseh B'Zadon. So the word is Zadon. In Novi Sheker, it says, Asher Yazid. You remember we said it was a conjugated verb. So although the noun and the Shoresh is the same, and that's called Hazadah, but the actual word in its context, in its conjugation, is different. It's bizadon, as opposed to yazid. And the Gemara is suggesting now that kind of gzeira shava we don't derive. Logomir. Logomir means we don't learn such gzeira shava. The Gemara is now upping the ante and the requirements of gzeira shava. Gzeira shava has to mean the same word exactly, letter by letter, without any discrepancy. Lefichach, therefore, in the case of Zadon, as opposed to Hazid, Efshal Lilmo Mimenu, and we cannot equate the Zadon of the Novi Sheker to the Asher Hazid, Asher Yazid of the Zokin Mamre, and hence the Zokin Mamre could not be a parsha that's going to shed a light on Novi Sheker. So let's just summarize. So at the end of the day, how do we know that a Novi Sheker has to be put to death by no less than a Beis Din of 23 judges? So the Gemara suggested in the name of Yossi that's Gzeira Shava Hazada Hazada. The Gemara rejects that, and the Gemara substitutes Reish Lakish's Gzeira Shava Dover Dover. And the oddity or the paradox of Dover Dover is that in the case of Zokei Mamre, we're going to put him to death in a Beis Din of 23. In the case of, and he's the Malameh that's meant to teach us through the operation of Dover Dover, that in the case of Novi Sheker, we're going to put him to death in a Beis Din of 71. But the answer is, that's the nature of the Gzeira Shava of Dover Dover. That just like it says, V'yasis al pi ha-dover, asher yagiduch ha-dover means the 71 judges, that's where he's rebelling. he's rebelling against the Dover of 71 judges. So too, when the Torah says in Novi Sheker, Asher Yazid L'Daber Dover, it means that he's put to death in a Bezdin of 71. So the Dover of Hamra, which teaches you that the Zaken went against 71, is going to teach you something about the Dover of the Bezdin that's condemning the Navi Sheker to death, and that's going to be the same Dover, and Dover here means 71 judges. Then the Gemara objects, because what about Azada Azada, which seems to give us the ability to derive in the reverse from Navi Sheker to shed a light on Zaki Mamre and require a Bezdin of 71 judges to put him to death? Why is it sufficient to condemn the Zaki Mamre to death in a Bezdin of 23? And the Gemara says, Dover Dover Gomir, but Hazoda Hazoda lo Gomir, which means one of two things. Rashi says it means that he never had a Kabbalah on Hazoda Hazoda's Gzeres Shavah, and Ein Adam Don Gzeres Shavah Mi'atzvah, it's got to be Al Pi Kabbalah. Or we have the Adramaz approach, that Hazoda Hazoda lo Gomir, because it violates the regulations that govern Gzeres Shavah. The word is not identical. In Dover Dover it is, but Hazod Hazod it's not. And the discrepancy is between the word Yazid and Bizadon. That's what we want to accomplish.
I don't want to extend the class.
Yeah.
But doesn't this contradict the previous one about the tribes? Because in that case you're making the comparison on how they're judged and separating how they're punished. In this case you're saying I'm judging him based upon the punishment of the other, or I'm judging this one based upon the punishment of the other. So it's like apples and pears.
I just want to know to focus on
maybe,
your question.
Maybe I'm wrong in what I said.
No, I'm just saying which line in the Gemara are you focused on?
Are you on
Hazoda Hazoda Minovi Sheker, that just like Novi Sheker is put to death in 71, so too a Zaki Marmi should require 71? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Because
there he's put to death to 71, but here they're using the 71 to say how he's judged, not how he's punished. Whereas in the previous one with the tribe, there was punishment or judgment versus judgment.
So wait a minute, let me just get the shiur's over, but I just want to talk to Don here. So in the case of what? In the case of Shevet, we said the following, that the Shevet, if let's say the entire Shevet worships Avodah Zarah, we're going to use a din of derabim and require 71 judges. But the actual Misa is going to be Dina de Yachid, which means that we're going to put him to death by Skila, not by Sarah. So Don, you're asking, we see very clearly from the Gemara of Shevet that we should differentiate between the type of, well, let's go back to basics, either the quality or the status of the or makeup of the court that's required to condemn him to death, as opposed to the actual Misa, the nature of the Misa. Right? That's what we see from the Sugya of Shevet and Don and Esa Shevet. Now you're asking, why is it that the Gemara here, through Azod Azod, wants to equate Novi Sheker and Zaki Mamre and say that they're both Chayev, they're both being condemned in the court of 71? But as far as the Misa is concerned, I think I would ask you a question this way. Tell me if this is what you're asking. Do we have the right to derive conclusions about the nature of the Misa? The Gemara is totally focused on the nature of the Bezdin, the makeup of the Bezdin.
Correct.
You cannot condemn a Navi Sheker to death without a Bezdin of 71, and the Gemara wants to assume, based on the Gzeres Shavah of Hazod Hazod, that so too in the case of Zaki Mamre we should derive the same conclusion. You cannot put the Zaki Mamre to death without 71 judges. Now you're coming and asking, well, what about the nature of the Misa? Can we go a step further and say not only does the equation go as far as the makeup of the Bezdin, but it even should go as far as the Misa is concerned?
No, it's saying, we're saying the makeup of the court for a
Navi Sheker?
The Navi Sheker.
Oh.
Right? We need 71 judges.
Right.
For David Dover, because 71 judges were used in order to condemn. Now, am I saying it wrong?
He rebelled against the 71. No, 71 didn't condemn him.
He rebelled against the 71.
He rebelled against the 71.
He'll be condemned by 23 for death.
So just the fact that they used the number 71, so they're saying
that. Yeah, that's it.
I see. Okay.
That since the word davar,
right,
in describing the hamra hamachayevis, meaning the rebellion which is going to generate his chiyuv misa as a capital crime, is because his criminal act was against davar, and davar means a bezdin of 71. So davar means 71. So too, when the Torah used the word davar in the context of Navi Sheker to tell you how many judges will condemn the Navi Sheker to death, is also going to be Dover. Dover means 71.
Okay.
And I found that to be a gewaldige chiddush. You know,
the fact that the two words weren't exactly the same, that makes more sense to me.
But Don,
you need a tradition.
Don, I think you are raising a very important question here. What misa should we mete out in both cases of Navi Sheker and Zaki Mamre? Right, we have four categories of misa. There's Skila, Srefa, Cherek, V'chenek. Well, if you have a Gzer Shava Hazada Hazada, which eventually the Gemara is going to reject, but the Gemara thinks that there's a valid and reliable Gzer Shava Hazada Hazada, then why not derive two conclusions? Number one, that just like Navi Sheker requires 71 judges, so too Zaki Mamre requires 71. Then, just like a Navi Sheker is put to death through strangulation, through chenek, so too a Zaki Mamre is put to death through chenek. And here I think your point is well taken. We've already seen a precedent in the case of Shevet, where we differentiated between the amount of judges that have to sit on the court and the kind of visa that we're going to meet out, and we're going to only equate Shevet with what's called Dina Darabim, like in the case of Yerin Dachas, as far as the requirement of 71 judges, but we're not going to derive conclusions as far as the Misa is concerned, because as far as the Misa is concerned, we're going to leave it at Misa's Yochid, which means Katlinen Leibis Beskila. So we see that differentiation. The question is right now hypothetical. I'll tell you why it's hypothetical, because in fact the Misa of both Navi Sheker and Zaki Mamre is identical. They both get Misa's Chenet. You know, and is that derived from Azod Azod? I don't know, because you're saying that maybe Azod Azod would not give me the authority to go that far as to say that we can equate the Misa. Maybe it's only equating the number of judges that make up of the court.
Seif is beheading. I'm sure. Can we go back to the? I still don't understand Seif's growth. Sorry. Okay, do you want to explain it?
Yes, that was yesterday. Let's turn back to the Gemara of yesterday.
Just with my confusion, I thought you were explaining, but you said if we have 100 and then you jump to 25,000, I didn't know why.
Yeah,
there's a minimum maximum.
Right.
To define an ear.
So yeah. Right? So Don, for this, I think we should see just a few lines of Gemara that we did yesterday. I think you're seeing is believing. If you know what I mean.
Okay.
So let's open up to Tesvavim in days for a moment. And you're looking for the words Ela B'Shevet Shehuda, counting up from the bottom of the page, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up. You see, it starts with the word B'Shar Mitzvos, and then it says Ela B'Shevet Shehuda. Do you find such a thing? 7 lines up from the bottom on Tezvav Beis.
4, 5, 6, 7. It says a B'Shar, right?
Yeah, and
Ela
B'Shevet Shehuda.
Okay.
Now the word Hudach means that they were enticed to worship Avodah Zarah. You know, some guy said, "Look, I worship this guy, this Baal Pa'or or somebody else, and guess what? I became a millionaire. It's worth it for you." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, it's like real estate or gambling. So you know, you say to the guy, "You know, I just invested in this property and I made a bomb." You know, so anyway. The Shevet was enticed to worship idols, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Now, when we say the Shevet, we're talking about what's called rubo kikulo, meaning most of the shevet. That's where I got to. I gave an example. I mean, I made it up over my head. Where 25,000 plus, right, out of 50,000 were enticed to worship Avodah Zarah. The whole shevet is made up of 50, and most of the shevet worshipped Avodah Zarah.
Okay. That's rov.
And that's rov. And rov has the status as kol, as the entire shevet. So the Gemara says, "Lemeimer, are you telling me the medina de rabin dainina le?" It means that if the shevet, and we're saying that rov of the shevet is like the entire shevet, and therefore it becomes an entity. We called it a tzibur. Mm-hmm. That was the word we used. The Gemara doesn't use that word, but it's an indivisible corporate entity. Mm-hmm. It's a corporate entity, like the Vatican. You know what I mean? It's a corporate entity. The United States government, you know, it's a corporate entity. And as a result, there are two nafkaminas. Number one, we need a bezdin of 71 to judge this corporate entity. And number two, we change the nature of the misa of each individual. When it's an individual din, what's called din of the yachid, then we judge him for skila. Here, because it's the entire entity, the misa is going to be saif. So Gemara says, come on, that doesn't work out according to anyone. Lo kerav Yoshia, v'lo kerav Yonisa. What we're going to soon see is that in order to define something as dina de rabim, there's going to be a ceiling, there's going to be a maximum. You and I would have said intuitively, what do you mean a maximum? The more the merrier. You know, the greater the metropolis. You know, New York has 8 million people, but what's it called in Japan? Tokyo has 9 million people or 12 million people, right? So the more the merrier. No, it doesn't work like that. This is the counterintuitive part. The sanyad kama osin irani dachas, which means, what are the numbers, minimum and maximum, to create what's called an ear? Ear means a dina de rabin. For those two nafkaminas that we mentioned before, number 171 and number 2, misa asayim. Mm-hmm. So according to Rav Yoshia, that's the first opinion, me'asara v'ad me'ah, which means that if you have a city that's made up of anything between 10 and 100, that's called a city. And they're intimate enough, large enough, because they have 10, mm-hmm. but intimate enough, because they're only up to 100, to form this new entity. And that's called Dina de Rabin. Paradoxically, if they had 101 people in the city, it would become Dina de Yachid. It's such a massive number of people that it's no longer an entity. You know, it's like, you have a city that's so large, there's so many different types, it's a melting pot, it's so many different cultures. I'm just using a marshal here. But what it means is that if it's such a large city, then it's just a conglomeration of individuals. They don't have
there's not cohesiveness.
Cohesiveness or the same culture, the same. They don't all carry the same membership cards. They don't look the same. They don't sound the same. You know, it's like Brooklyn. If you've ever been to Brooklyn, you know there's the whites, the blacks, the yellows. You know what I mean? It's such a large city. It's got every single type. So that's already Dina de Yachid. That city becomes just simply a conglomeration of individuals, and therefore the din is a din de Yachid. That's according to Rabbi Yoshi. Rabbi Yonah's son.
Din de Yachid for punishment or Din de Yachid for...
Again, Dina de Yachid means two things. Number one, that all you need is 23 judges.
Right.
And number two, that the misa will be skila.
Ah, okay.
Okay, those I have to go over that 50 million times.
Okay.
Rabbi Yonah's son says, no. Meaning less than 100 is not a city. You have 10 people, you have 99 people. That's just a bunch of individuals, a bunch of hooligans.
Okay.
That's not a city. The ad up until rubo shel shevet, right? In other words, up to most of the shevet, we gave a number, we called it 20, 25 plus, right? So once you go beyond 25,000 plus, which is more than rov of the shevet, then it's already again a conglomeration, it's such a large city. Again, whereas according to Rav Yoshi, it's such a large city that it's Dina de Yochid because there are 101 people.
Right.
According to Rav Yoshi, there are 25,000 people. Once it's 25,000.1, then it's such a large, diverse, heterogeneous city that it's Dina de Yochid. Now you're talking here about the Shevet. And you're telling me that if the Shevet as an entity, you know, let's dramatize. Let's say every last member of the Shevet worshipped Avodah Zarah. 50,000 people in Shevet Zvulun worshipped Avodah Zarah. In that case, since you've exceeded beyond the number of Rov, then it's Dina D'Yachid. How could the Mishnah therefore say that Ein Donis HaShevet El B'Shiva V'Echa, which means that the Shevet as a Shevet, the entire entity of the Shevet worship of Avodah Zarah, and then you're going to judge them under the Rabbin law of 71 judges? That's not true. Because both Rav Yoshi and Rav Yonis would agree that once you get to the entire Shevet, it's beyond the numbers, it's a bunch of Yechidim, it's a conglomeration of individuals.
I'm
no good?
No,
Steve,
good.
You want to try and see if
I'm still not